I would like to ask this morning if there might be something upon anybody's hearts that they just feel like needs to be said or done. If not, then we're going to go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts for this morning. Got your Bibles and you want to follow along with us, and want to take a reading out of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The 8th chapter of the letter that Paul was writing to the church at Rome. I didn't plan on saying this, but as it comes to our hearts, as we think about the letter that was written to the church at Rome, according to the studies that I have done, that this church was made up of Jews and Gentiles. And as we know from the Old Testament, that the Jews were God's chosen people. And we find in the book of Romans that there was a dispute between the Jews and the Gentiles, because the Gentiles then were to be treated like outcasts, you know, nothing special. But you see, Paul said something here in the early chapters of the book of Romans. He said, "For the same Lord and the same God is over each," and I'm going to paraphrase this, "but each of you, he's the same God to the Jews and he is the same God to the Gentiles." And I started to think this morning, you know, I'm so thankful it doesn't matter what race or whatever we're affiliated with, but God can save everybody. You know, it ain't limited to the Jews, and it's not limited to the Gentiles. It's God can save everybody. And everybody needs to have the chance to be able to hear his good word. But this morning, if you got your Bibles, we're going to read 8th chapter of Romans, and I'm going to start in the verse 5. Paul is writing, and he said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity," or an enemy, "against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And as I started thinking about this past week, you know, my heart and my mind's just been everywhere, you know. So I pray that God will just direct us this morning whichever way He would lead us. But you know, as I was thinking this past week, you know, the soul is precious. The soul of man is precious. You know, and I started thinking this past week about the book of Genesis. And in there, the Bible tells us about one day God, from the dust of the earth, He created man. And through His nostrils, man breathed in the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And I started to think about how God, He created this lifeless form of dirt, and through it, He placed a soul in there. You know, I believe everything has life, you know. I think the trees, they have life. The grass that God has created, the waters, the cats, the dogs that you might have, they have life. But there's a difference between us and the other things that God has created. And that's the fact that He has placed a soul within man. And I believe that that soul is precious in the eyes of God. Your soul is precious in the eyes of God. Your soul is precious to God over the fact that He sent His only begotten Son in this to this world, that we would not be able to perish, but that we should not perish, but that we through Him can have life eternal. And I believe this morning, I've said it before, but I believe this morning that to this day, salvation is the greatest gift that anybody can ever have on the face of the earth. You know, it's having that knowledge of not knowing about where I'm going when I die, but it's having that knowledge and that personal relationship with God. It's having that intimacy with Him. It's knowing this past week, whenever I'm in trouble, I can go in my prayer closet and know that He is right there listening to me. It's that relationship that I value with my salvation. But you see, I believe this morning, from the Genesis account, that each and every single human being that ever has been and ever will be on the face of the earth, they have a soul. And that soul, as we have so said, is precious in the eyes of God. But now this morning, as what the Bible does tell us, it says that today is the day of salvation. I believe that there comes a point in time in our life, especially when we are able to know and understand the difference between right and wrong, that God then holds us accountable for sin. We come to this knowledge of what people call is the age of accountability. And I do think this morning, and I don't want to preach my opinion, and forgive me if my opinion comes into this, but I do believe this morning that that age of accountability, when a person reaches that, it's different for different individuals. I remember God dealt with me when I was a 7-year-old boy. And I didn't understand what I had done, but I knew that my heart, by what mom and daddy had taught me, that if my heart was in trouble, to go after God. My sister, when God dealt with her, she would tell you her testimony, she was 6 years old. God deals differently with different people. But there comes this point in time in our life when we are held accountable for sin. And that's what the law, as in the book of Romans, if you go previous to what we have read, it talks about the law and it teaches us by the law, by the word of God, that many are made sinners, that we are held accountable for what happened. And we are. And the Bible tells us that the law in the book of Galatians, that the law is the schoolmaster. It teaches us these things. And you know, one of these days when we're standing before God, you know what He's going to judge us by? His law, His word. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm thankful that God made a way for us to come back in fellowship with Him. Now we read in the 12th chapter of Luke, and I'm going to get to this in a second. But we read in the 12th chapter of Luke about how there was a parable that Jesus gave one day, a story. And He said that there was a man who He spoke unto a parable and said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. There's people today that they're very wealthy. And I'm thankful that if you are wealthy, I'm thankful that God has blessed you with that. But you see, there's so many people who let that wealth come before their very own soul. He said, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow, to place my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. I'll make bigger barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? See, the Bible tells us, and I believe it was the book of Mark in the 8th chapter in the 36th verse, where Jesus was even speaking, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but yet lose his own soul? Amen. See, and we understand and know that the Bible teaches us today that after death, then is the judgment over in the book of Hebrews. And you know, the Bible tells us in the 20th chapter of Revelation that he whose name is not found in the book of life is casted off into a lake of fire. So we understand that after death there then becomes a judgment. Well, we're stand before God. And let me tell you this, friends. During that day, you need your name written down in the book of life. On that day, you need to be saved. But you see, after death, it's already too late. There's so many people. I remember growing up during revivals, we would stand and sing a song after the preacher was done preaching, and it'd say, "Don't put off salvation too long." Folks, I'm telling you today, don't put off God too long. We often say, you know, we come up and have these plans. Tomorrow I'm going to sit You see, death has come to several people who had plans and intentions for the next day. Sometimes we schedule vacations. You know, me and my wife, we start thinking about this vacation or this trip that we might want to do, you know, and we'll try to plan out about a year or two down the road, but let me tell you, a year or two may not ever come. We're not promised the next breath. And folks, this is a need that I hope God makes alive in everybody. That the soul is precious. And folks, let me tell you, how precious do you think the soul is when God and Satan himself, when they're both, is after it? It's precious. It's eternal life that we talk about. And this day, you know, when we talk about heaven and hell and death, I'm telling you, folks, this ain't no fairy tale that we are dealing with. It's literal, literal life and death. And I'm not trying to sound mad or nothing at anybody, but folks, there's so many people out there in this world. You know, whenever I think about heaven, yes, I do start rejoicing. I really do. I get a little happy. I was starting to think about our Sunday school booklets that we have, you know, and we're on the one right now that's entitled Heaven. And I get happy thinking about the place that my soul just longs to go. But at the same time, I get a little heartbroken for those that are lost and separated from God. Because folks, I don't need to be the only one that has experienced the salvation plan of God. The gift is out, and I believe, to the whole world. There's people out there who teach that God sent His Son to just die for a few secular groups of people. And let me tell you, that's a Satan doctrine and a half. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, that for God so loved this world, but if you're lost and separate from Him, it needs to become personal. Not did God only love the world, but God loved you. That He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him. Once again, it's got to get personal. That if you believe in Him, you will not perish. You have this opportunity. People, they trust and they take trust and refuge in the riches of this life. They take trust and refuge in the things that's going on in the world. But you see, we read and you're reading in the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul said, for to be carnally minded is death. To think about and to engulf and indulge yourself in the things of this world, just to even think about it, it is death. Brings upon destruction. The carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy of God. Meaning that it wants everything. Meaning that it desires everything that God doesn't. It's against. You see, the thing about our human nature. Yes, we was made from the ground and the lumps of clay. But we also have a sinful nature about us. And if we're not careful, the flesh wants to indulge in the things of the world. For the things of the world pleases the flesh, but it doesn't please God. Well, what is the things that's out there in this world? You read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 that the things that's out there in this world, it is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and it is the pride of life. And we're all, if we're deep down honest with each other, we are all prideful about something. We're deep down honest with each other. We're all prideful about something. Our eyes lust after something. Our flesh lusts after something. I was telling you about the biggest and the nicest trucks I've been looking at. Oh, let me tell you, they're so nice. Oh, it's something that my fleshly being just wants to have. But folks, it ain't something that I need. You know what I need? Well, let me rephrase it. You know who I need? I need God. You know who you need? God. You know who the people right next to us down the street need? They need God. I believe this world, you know, we see about how bad it is in and the shape that it's going. I tell you what, this whole world needs a good dose of heartfelt no-so salvation. Amen. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, the best times of my life is when I've been in the house of God. And not even necessarily in the house of God, but it's happened a lot in the house of God. But it's when God just places me and sits me down in heavenly places. When His Spirit just comes and moves. And it's something that I desire to feel each and every day. I don't understand how people can go on and live this life and not know God. I really don't. I don't understand how people can live and go on and not want to feel His presence. I really don't. But you see, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, well, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, excuse me, about how the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that are perishing. And we see it happening. Hearts are hardening towards the gospel. But folks, let me tell you, and I was thinking about this earlier, the things that make the Word of God that comes alive is the Spirit of God. The things that makes the church service so grand and so great is when the Holy Spirit of God moves among His people and sits with His people. You see, and there's people today, they'll say the Spirit isn't it. I want to say this real fast. It is not. Spirit is a He. It is part of the Godhead. And let me tell you, we need the Spirit. The preaching of the Word, the proclamation needs the Spirit of God in behind it. We read in the book of Acts in the second chapter about how when the day of Pentecost came and the Spirit moved upon the disciples and they started preaching to the people there. You know what it said? That the words pricked their hearts. And let me tell you, in Hebrews it tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any other two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder, cutting to the joints and the marrows of the heart. Folks, the Word of God needs to be pricking our hearts. You see, the Bible tells us, and also in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, you know, Brother Todd spoke about it in Sunday school, and I'm like, man, he's getting all over what God laid on my heart. But let me tell you this, that's okay. Let me tell you this, we have been given a ministry from God. The whole church has, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. Being reconciled, being brought back to the fellowship of God Himself. Adam, whenever he was in the Garden of Eden there, before they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I believe that God and Adam had fellowship with each other. And let me tell you, we can have fellowship with God, all of mankind, because through and by the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, with that, He broke down the middle wall of partition, the wall of division that was separating us. And through Him, we have access to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh by me. Any man who wants to come to the Father, I'm paraphrasing this, has to come to me, whom the Father has sent. But you see in the 8th chapter here, going on past down, says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, the spirit of slavery. Again, folks, let me tell you, I was a slave to sin. If your loss is separated from God, you are in bondage and a slave to sin. But see, Paul was talking about after God has saved and placed His spirits in our hearts, and praise God that after He saves us in Ezekiel 36, that He not only plants a new heart in us, but He plants a new spirit, and that is His spirit. I've heard preachers say before, next time you come to church, bring God with you. Folks, let me tell you, we can, because He dwells within His people. So as for you not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Folks, when God saved my soul, let me tell you, He took fear away and out of my heart. Psalms 116, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. He heard my pleading, my begging. The writer tells us about how the pains of hell got hold upon him. He found trouble and sorrow. Folks, let me tell you this. When God dealt with my soul and my heart, when God dealt with me and showed me and made me realize I was lost, the pains of death compassed me, like the psalmist said. I started to think, well, what if I die right now? The pains of hell get hold upon me. If I die in my state, I will surely wake up in a devil's hell. I found trouble and sorrow. For those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, we've experienced trouble and sorrow. When God convicted the heart, He broke that stony heart and let you know that you cannot be saved on your own. We've all felt that brokenness before. I had a fear that was implanted in me when I was lost. And that fear was, I don't want to go and wake up in a devil's hell. A dreadful place that I've heard preached and preached and preached years and years. A place of torment. A place of whipping and gnashing of teeth. A place where the fire never quenches and the worm dies not. You know, when the Lord saved me, He took that fear away, Brother Danny. He said, Paul said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. I do not fear death. I'm being honest. I do not fear death. Now, the sting of death is a different story, because I don't know when my time is coming to an end. I don't know how it's going to end. Let me tell you, I could probably go home and get hit head on by a semi-tractor trailer. I never know. I hope it's not that way. The sting of death I don't like to think about, but death itself I do not fear. Because what God has given me on November the 12th of 2006 as that 7-year-old boy when He reached down and saved my soul, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt where I am going after I die. I know who my heavenly Father is. And folks, if you're lost and separated from God, you too can know peace. For we've not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yeah, I was thinking about that last night, and I was thinking about, many of you know, growing up, I only had two siblings. My oldest sister, and then my youngest brother. And then whenever I was 13 or 14, my parents, they adopted another sister of mine. And then from 13 on, I had three siblings. And you know, during the adoption paperwork and all that, they had to sign. They kept telling Brianna, who was the one being adopted, they kept telling her, they're like, blood doesn't make this family. Love does. And I saw how they brought her in, and they loved her like she was one of her children, her natural children. And then going and graduating high school, they loved her, seeing that love form like she was their very own. Folks, when I got saved, according to what Paul said here in Romans, I was adopted in the family of God. And therefore, with the affection, the fatherly affection, and the fatherly love that he has shown me, I cry, Abba, Father. Because he is. Bible tells us in John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, talking about that born again experience. And folks, everybody out there in this world, if they desire to go to heaven, they need to witness that born again experience from above. But we read in John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus there, he said a man had to be born again. He said he cannot see the kingdom of God unless he be born again. And Nicodemus, he said, well, how can a man, when he is old, then enter the second time into his mother's womb? I don't understand. I don't know how a man can be born again. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water, the natural birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's a song that Sister Carla Asbury sings, and I fell in love with it the second I heard her sing it. I have a birth that I cannot remember, and I have a birth that I absolutely cannot forget. We all have, if you've been saved by the grace of God, we are adopted into the family of God, and we need to praise God for it. There's a song that I heard. There was a recording of one of my former pastors down in Tennessee. Him and his family, they sung a song a few years back, and it said, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I was washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. There is no greater blessing than being saved. And I'm thankful that when we come in the house, we're able to announce each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And folks, I do believe when we get to heaven that we will know each other as brother and sister, and God will be our Father. God said that they will be with me. They will be my people, and I will be their God. We struggle with many different gods down here in this life, don't we? And you might think to yourself, well, no, I don't. Think again. Anything that comes before God Himself, whether it be job, family, money, if that comes before God, we have created ourselves an idol God. And let me tell you, I'm so glad that one of these days I don't have to struggle having idol gods. I don't have to struggle with that. I don't have to struggle with Satan and all of his temptation that comes to me. I don't have to struggle about wondering if I gave God enough of an effort to praise Him, because up there we'll give Him perfect praise and perfect praise throughout the rest of our days for eternity. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Ain't you glad that God lets you know that you've been born again? No man has to tell you. No human being has to tell you. No preacher, no deacon, no lay member. But God lets you know. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know, I was looking up that word not too long ago, heir. And I'm gonna shred this definition because I didn't write it down. But I was thinking about the word heir. And that word heir means having a possession of a land passed down to a family member. And I started to think about heir. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. And one of these days, see, I don't possess nothing in this life. Everything I own, the bank owns it. I just pay them for me to have it in my parking lot or my driveway. But let me tell you this, folks. One of these days, I am going to possess a land. Not because I deserve it, but because of what He done on the cross. Because of what He done on Calvary. And not just that, but because He rose again and still lives. Talking about the Spirit of God being in our hearts, there's a song that says, "You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." So for those of us who've been saved, ain't you glad it's personal with God? Ain't you glad that it's that personal? Not even the depths of man can even look in your heart and know the trouble that you're going through. But God can reach down into the depths of it and pull you out of that miry clay and set your feet upon a rock. Being Jesus Christ. And then, that 18th verse, he said, "For I reckon." I like how Paul just said that. He said, I just reckon that this present time isn't worthy to be compared to the glory as awaiting us. I know I hear, brother, and I don't mean to point people out. I really don't. If that embarrasses you, I'm sorry. I really am. I'll try to stop. But I know Brother Danny, having conversation with him from time to time, you know, I think he gets a little tired of his body aching, you know. But you know, one of these days, Brother Danny, it'll all be over with. I get a little tired of the trouble that I feel in this life, but one of these days it'll all be over with. I get a little tired of the sufferings that I have to go through, but one of these days it'll all be over with. Because what is over there isn't compared. What's over here isn't worthy to even be compared to what's waiting on us. But folks, until we get to that land, there's a world full of people that need to be saved by the grace of God. And they need to hear the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is known as the good news. Well, what is the good news? There's a story about a man asked the preacher one time about what the good news is. He said it can be summed down to three words: death, burial, and resurrection. He done all of that for our sin, that one day we might have life. Folks, let me tell you, you think that you're living in this life. But let me tell you, we're not. Our bodies, they're decaying, they're dying, especially as the days go and we get older. It's just decaying, and soon enough when we die, it's going to return back to the dust of the earth from whence it came. But let me tell you this, folks, when those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, when we go to our heavenly home, we'll just begin living. We'll know what real life is like. And if you're lost and separated from God, you might think that you have happiness in this life. Let me tell you, true happiness comes from being saved by the grace of God. It comes by being saved. And I'll go on and say this too. It also comes by serving God. Because there is no greater paymaster that I have than God Himself. You know, we talked about that man in Luke chapter 12 who wanted to go on and he wanted to build bigger barns for all his fruits and everything. There's people who have these greater desires. And God, he goes on, well, Jesus goes on further in that parable. If I can get to it, I don't want to slander it, but he goes further on in the 12th chapter of Luke in that parable, in that very same parable. In the 21st verse, he said, So is he that layeth up treasure. Well, let's go back to the 20th verse. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, I've known of some people, they've worked all their life to have these fancy houses, and you walk in their house all the time and it's just kept clean. Then by the time they die and their family gets in possession of it, it's as dirty as can be, and nearly destroyed. But you know, in the 21st verse, and I say this, in the 21st verse, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You can be the wealthiest person in this life and still be poor. Let me tell you, I'm a poor man. I really am. I don't have two quarters to my name. I barely have a quarter to my name. But let me tell you, what God done for me, I'm rich. I'm rich. As far as I'm concerned, I'm one of the wealthiest people that there is. But you know, there's people who strive and to have these wealthy things. Once passed down to their families, it gets destroyed. It gets dirty, it gets nasty. Folks, that's why it's important to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where nobody comes in, no thief can come in and steal, and moth and rust does not corrupt it. Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. I hope This morning, our heart is upon the things of God. Our heart is upon heaven. And we set our treasures in heaven. But not only that, not only do we want to look forward to going there, but folks, I want to see everybody that I've met there. I really do. I don't care if they're the worst people on the face of the earth. I want to see them there. For God so loved the world. If He loved me enough, surely to goodness. If He loved me enough that He can save me, surely to goodness. He loves the rest of this community enough that He can save them from the sin that they are sinking in. I know this wasn't much, but this is just what God had laid on my heart. And I do hope and pray somebody had gotten something out of it. But I pray above all that God got the honor and glory out of it. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, you want to get us a song? And Brother Mark, if you want to accompany her, and let us all stand and sing this morning and think about what was said.